Sports Saturday, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com. Jeff and Austin out, Brady and Aaron in. I want to go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find one of the best writers at ESPN. It's Ian O'Connor. He wrote a great story on Eli Manning for ESPN.com this week. Ian, thank you for being with us. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thank you.
Good. I appreciate you joining us. You've joined us before to talk about your work on your book about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. But the story on Eli was awesome, likely in his final days as a member of the New York Giants. I think everybody agrees on that. What was the biggest thing you took away from your own piece?
I just think the way Eli has carried himself for 16 years in the New York market. And if you look at it from a distance back in 2004 when he was acquired on draft day, you would think, well, this could be a marriage that isn't necessarily a great one. Eli was a very quiet kid from the South, entering the loudest marketplace in the world, and you would have thought that, at least I thought, San Diego would have a better match for him. Of course, the Chargers picked him at number one,
yeah.
And Eli and his camp told the Chargers, "We do not want to play for you," and wanted that trade to the Giants and got it. So. I've covered Derek Jeter. I did for his entire career as a columnist in New York, and very much like Jeter, Eli was able to navigate the big city in such a way where he was never in any sort of controversy. He, despite being a big star in the biggest market, you never saw until the last week or so a video or picture of him in a compromising situation or doing something in a bar, and until he was caught with Daniel Jones, yes, having a good time after they beat Washington. It's hilarious that right at the end of his career, it was the first time anyone had ever really seen Eli in that kind of a setting, acting the way he did. Not that he was doing anything wrong, but so I think it was the way that he carried himself and navigated New York for 16 years, and of course the two championships, and I think he did just enough to get into the Hall of Fame. We'll find out soon enough.
In addition to just navigating New York, how much pressure was on Eli just to live up to his own last name?
That's a great question. I think there was a ton of pressure, although you would never know it just by talking to him, being around him for those 16 years, particularly early on. Now, he struggled early in New York, and there was a feeling like maybe this was all too much for him, but I don't get the sense that that was really about Peyton and being his kid brother. Like, he was not afraid to go to Mississippi, to Ole Miss, despite the fact that his father was a legend there. I remember talking to his high school coach, and he said Eli didn't care about stuff like that. So I think it was just physically and mentally getting adjusted to the NFL and New York, and not so much being concerned about the pressure or the shadow of his big brother. I really don't think that was had a major impact on him. Once he got going, of course, and listen, there are a lot of people who believe he did not have a Hall of Fame career. And I think if you're in that camp, you have a valid argument. You can find holes in his career that are big enough where you say, you know what, this isn't good enough for Ken. I take the opposite approach and think that the two Super Bowl runs, being MVP in both of those games. Now, Big Ben, they could have stayed where they were at number four in that 2004 draft and taken Roethlisberger without trading any draft picks to get Eli. And you could say, hey, we probably would have ended up with those two titles without making that deal. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure how Roethlisberger would have handled himself in New York given his off-field issues in Pittsburgh. And Roethlisberger was not the MVP in either of his Super Bowl victories. So I think it worked out in a big way, and I just don't...
His lack of expression for his overall, just kind of for his lack of emotion, his lack of expression for his overall, just kind of, you know, Opie attitude, you know, Opie from the Andy Griffith Show, which you wrote in the piece. But, look, Sam Darnold doesn't have a huge personality. Daniel Jones doesn't have a huge personality. Do you think Eli has kind of laid the blueprint for these kind of players to be successful in New York?
I do, but I think he borrowed it from Jeter. Jeter didn't have a big personality. Mariano Rivera didn't have a big personality. They both were huge parts of five championship teams in New York, and maybe that's the trick. You try not to read a lot that's written about you, and you can do your commercial endorsements, but pick your spots. Remember, I don't know if you recall this story, but Eli hosted Saturday Night Live,
yeah,
after he won his second Super Bowl title. He was asked to do it after his first, and he didn't think he had accomplished enough to do it after his brother, I believe, had done it the year before. So I think you can enjoy yourself in New York as a big star, but also sort of keep an even keel approach to just the way you carry yourself on and off the field. I think that would serve you in a big way. It did for Jeter, it did for Mariano Rivera, and it certainly did for Eli.
Ian O'Connor of ESPN with us here on the Huddle, 101.3 The Game, 1013thegame.com, wrote the story on Eli Manning and his career arc in New York with the Giants as we come up to his likely final game in New York tomorrow when the Giants take on the Eagles. What do you think the ultimate future is for Eli? Do you think he's said publicly he does not want to be a backup in the future? He wants to be a starter. Do you think there's a job for him next year?
He doesn't want to be a coach. He doesn't want to be a backup. I'm not sure he wants to be a broadcaster, although I think he does have a sneaky, funny personality behind closed locker room doors. Yeah. He's a master prankster. His sense of humor, his teammates love. So he just doesn't often show that side for public view. I think that he's going to retire, but you have to leave open the possibility that one perfect situation will present itself. Now, how many of those situations, guys, are likely to be out there? Not many. I think the one that they believe the Manning camp sees possible interest from the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Manning family obviously has a lot of history with that market and that franchise. Didn't end well, but still a lot of good memories still tethered to that franchise. Do they really believe in Brissett long term? And they probably believe they have the offensive line to protect an immobile quarterback who has maybe a year or two left to try to win big with that team. So the Colts would be a possibility in my mind and in the minds of some people close to Eli, but I don't know how many other situations you can even look at and say, wow, this would be a great fit. I think that Eli's window is so small now and his mobility is down to next to nothing that it has to be a perfect situation for him, and I just don't think there are going to be many out there. So I think the most likely scenario is he retires as a one uniform lifer with the New York Giants.
What do Eli's teammates think about him? One of my favorite parts of your article was the teammates that came to his defense, but also there were teammates that have questioned him throughout the years and he never took the bait. Ultimately, what is his legacy with his teammates?
The one time he took the bait, he really had to. Tiki Barber criticized him publicly early in that 2007, that first championship season after Barber had retired. Eli, there were people around him that said, you have to fire back on this one because that was so public and just to establish your own leadership. And he did, but really he has shied away from ever doing that. Some teammates have questioned him publicly here and there. But by and large, I think he's one of the most respected figures in the NFL. I think his teammates love him. I think they respect him. And you look, there were those videos from Hoboken, New Jersey, after beating Washington and him being out with Daniel Jones. In one of those videos, you see Jones wrap his left arm around Eli's shoulder and pull him in a very affectionate way. And just to see Eli, the kind of support he's given Jones, the kid drafted to replace him over the course of the season, I think he has shown you why he is so respected. That last victory over Miami, and thankfully, he got that opportunity to have that moment to see him on the sideline after being pulled from the field by Pat Shurmur on the video board at MetLife Stadium. You could tell he didn't even want to be on that video board as thousands of people are standing and cheering for him and chanting his name. So it's that kind of presence. The poise he's had over 16 years has really made him a revered player in New York, even though you can look at his career again and see a lot of pretty big holes.
What do you think ultimately happens tomorrow in the game against the Eagles? Does Eli play any part of it? Does he go out? If the Giants are winning, does he go out and take the victory formation snap? If they're losing and Philly's in the victory formation, does he go out there at linebacker just to get a send-off? Or do we just end it with the great moment he had a couple of weeks ago?
I think that's probably the most likely scenario, is that they had a great moment. He got his send-off. That day was tailor-made for Eli. So let's not try to add to that moment, okay? Tomorrow really should be about trying to deny the Eagles a chance to win the NFC East and giving Daniel Jones an opportunity. Hey, go out and beat Carson Wentz. Saquon Barkley, you finally got it rolling this year after a very disappointing and difficult season. Let's see you go out and prove you're the best athlete on the field and gain 160 yards rushing. I think the Giants, Pat Shurmur, I think will be fired anyway. Dave Gettleman has a better chance of staying. But Shurmur has a right to try to win this game to make his case. So I think tomorrow should be all about the Giants trying to win that football game, not just to deny the Eagles the division title, but for themselves. And it is a division rival. Now, if they have the game in hand and on that final snap they want to send Eli out on the field to take the knee, I don't have a problem with that. But I think going beyond that would be not necessary, and it really isn't necessary after the kind of moment Eli had against Miami.
Ian, we'll get you out of here on this. Who's under more pressure in New York? Is it the Giants and their lack of success lately, the Knicks and their lack of success for a decade, or is it the Yankees because the expectations are now so high with the Gerrit Cole signing?
In a funny way, it's the Yankees, yeah. Right? They've won one championship in what, 19, 20 years, so to lay out that kind of money for Gerrit Cole, it's kind of funny to say they're under more pressure than the Knicks and the Giants, given the states of those franchises right now, but it is true, right? Their mission statement every year is to win it, and even though they're constantly knocking on the door, they've had some great teams since 2000. They've won one championship in 2009, so why don't we go with that?
Ian O'Connor, ESPN, one of the best. Ian, we appreciate it. Thank you for your perspective. Thank you for your time. Have a great new year.
All right, you too, guys. Thank you.
All right, there he goes, Ian O'Connor, senior writer over at ESPN and ESPN.com.